Mr. Higton, Rail 3. We're talking about your time at the depot of the Knots and Derbys, the Sherwood Foresters at Normanton Barracks. And we've just got on to when you were allowed out. And you'd just been inspected, and then if you passed, you were allowed out. Yes. So what would you do then?
One of the old soldiers said, "Now, if you want a nice drink of beer and listen to someone who's playing the piano, you ever sing so, you just get the monkey there." So, the two of us, I think it was Stuart Arthur who later got killed. We went down and we couldn't find the monkey there. So we saw a policeman and we said, "Please, can you tell us where the monkey look is?" He said, "You knew, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, we've been here for a while." He said, "Well, tell me our lads." He says, "There you are then. White Swan." And it's still, they did have a piano. I mean, I wasn't listening. But half a pint of it, and then they wandered out of town and went back in. Of course, if we got a soldier from Ilkeston to Norway, it's only 8 miles, so we should go on for the day. Providing you got to pass to go and come back.
And did some of the lads drink more than that? I mean,
some of the lads drunk, but they knew they got to come back past the guard commander when they came in. And unless they got a secondary income, they couldn't afford it. But, I mean, I got 5 bob a week. See, it was 1 and 6 a day, 10 and 6 a week. Well, I used to send 6 months a day, 3 and 6 a week on to my mum.
No, that's a lot less than you were getting. I mean, did that cause your mum some hardship?
Indeed, yes. Yeah. It's a good job she got the chip shop too, so I but I did say them, I did. It doesn't sound all now, 3 and 6 a week, but it helped. It helped. It was paid for the post office.
But still, £2.50 odd less, £2.12 or whatever it is less than it was, you know. Now, anything else about the time in the first 6 weeks of training, you know, your basic training? Anything else you remember?
At the end of 6 weeks, what they did, they picked 4 out of each 30 to go for further training. They went to the holding battalions. And I went as a potential engineer to Eggington.
You were picked. What had they seen about you as a potential NCO? What were they looking for in people?
Well, I think the biggest thing was attitude. I accepted it and it got me done and I was liable. Left them out.
So you were the 4 out of 30, you were the potential NCOs. And you were sent, was it Headington?
Eggington.
Sorry, I'm deaf. And what was it, Eggington? Where were you based there?
Eggington Hall.
The army had taken it over then?
The army had taken it over.
And was this... was it called anything, the unit, or was it just a part of the depot?
No, it was just... I don't know what it was called. It was a training unit.
But you can't remember the name?
No, it was Eggington Hall. Sherwood Forest was Eggington Hall.
And how many of you were there then? About
there was two platoons there, two platoons, six of them.
And what training did you get there?
Basic field training.
It's because you hadn't done tactics before. You'd not done any exercise, I should have asked, but yeah.
We'd not use it to its mortar, we'd not done any field training.
So let's take it through in turn. And what new weapons were you introduced to there?
We were introduced to the brand.
That's where you mentioned before. That's where you got that. Yeah. And then, what about the 2-inch mortar?
2-inch mortar.
Now, tell us about that. How were you?
We were told, chiefly, how to strip it, how to maintain it, keep it clean. We were told the weight of it, where the weight could run, and how to fire it.
How did you fire it?
How did we fire it?
Did you get the chance to fire, or was it just theory?
The chance to fire it. The basic was the range. Ranging was the biggest thing. I got to get the elevation to get the correct range. And, my head out anyway. A little story I'll tell you later on, I nearly had mine blown off. And that was the, really, there was a lot of theory in it, and there was a lot of paperwork, giving you graphs, and the elevation, and the rains, and the crosswinds, and the terrain, whether what he was firing at was up higher than you, whether it was lower than you, because all this affected the range of the bomb. We did quite a lot of that.
And then how did you actually fire it?
We went out, I'm trying to think, it was somewhere near Willington they took us to, on a lot of open ground, and we actually fired it there. Because that was a flag flying, and we got something posted.
What was it? Was it a two-man mortar? How many were in the team?
It was a two-man mortar. The switch mortar was a two-man mortar.
So what did each of you do?
The main man was prone, and he was the fireman. The secondary man was a loader, and keeping the bombs flying.
So the first man, what did the first man do?
He set the range.
That's the elevation then, basically.
He calculated the range and the elevation, and he set that. And when he was right, okay, load, and the second man loaded the bomb.
How did you do that? Just drop it down?
Drop it down, fin first, drop it down. It's different to a three spotter. Drop it down, and then it had to be manually fired. He turned the handle, which released the firing pin, stuck the bomb, and away it went. With a 3-inch mortar, you can fix fire pin as soon as the bomb goes in. But we've not reached that yet. We were still on
it. Sounds a bit safer than the 3-inch mortar, for the operator anyway.
Yeah.
And what sort of range do you reckon you got then? Effective range?
Effective range, I think the most effective range is about 150 yards. If you was good at it, you could get good results up to 200, but about 150 yards.
And how close to the target could you get?
150 yards, you can get within 5 yards, 6 yards. Of course, you've got your blast.
Would that be first shot, or that would that be after a bit of trial and error?
Yeah, the first one was a ranging shot. First one was a ranging shot, which gave you direction, whether up a bit, left a bit, right a bit. First one was a ranging shot. But at Eglinton, I'd say there was no hot water. The ablutions were in the old caskets, and they were zinc bowls laid out, taps, and it was all cold. And they nipped across and they had put cold wash matting it before they had breakfast. And then every morning there was a 10-mile march.
That's much more than you'd hadn't.
Not done this.
How did you manage with 10-mile marsh?
Blisters. We soon learnt to wear two pair of socks. And then, after a week, we found that one day in the week there'd be a 30-mile run. So we were starting to get in the field training there.
That must have been fairly tough. That'd be as well as your normal training now.
Well, as your normal training. You did your 10 miles, your 10 back, and by this time it's probably 10 to half past, and you get a couple of sessions in before lunchtime. But we didn't do much, apart from the room watches, we didn't do much drill.
So it was weapons training and tactical.
Training.
Any other weapons before we move on? You mentioned the Bren, we talked about that, and the 2-inch mortar. Anything else you brought?
No.
Peart, or?
No, the Peart came later. Peart and the.
Oh, yes, sorry.
And the Sten.
What about the Thompson? That might have been around.
Yeah, but not to us, not to the crews. It was to the attic. To get that loose on me. But if you. The Peart, we've got to North Africa. But if you remind me a little bit later on, I'll tell you from the story about me.
Okay.
So the
weapons we talked about. What about tactical exercises? What sort of tactics were they teaching you? This is the sort of way you advanced and defended positions. What were they teaching you there?
The tactic was five movement. Or to, even within you get a sense in a 7-8 man, you'll find more than wide to them, more than wide over the field, and then at the front, more while the centre stayed, get the centre, more while the front stayed, and we did this, and then we did it in platoon, one platoon moving, and then incorporate the movement of the section within the platoon. That's a little bit complicated in the end. And then we couldn't do it company by company then because there wasn't enough of them. But we've got the basic idea of how to keep firing while you're moving. And again, in this, came the supply section, your headquarters, with the four men out of the platoon, they've got to keep you supplying with ammunition and as you move. We were learning all these things, which was entirely new to us. But again, it was learning to rely on the next man to you, and learning to rely on the next platoon to you. It was all good basic stuff.
What about defensive tactics? You know, digging either trenches or slit trenches, or what? I don't know what you'd be doing in that time. It might have been full-scale trenches, or was it just slit trenches?
We were still on slit. We're on slit trenches. We never got to a position where we didn't do first war business. Slit trenches.
So did you practice digging them, or was it just how to occupy them? And
we practiced digging them, and the parapet and the parados, the front and the back, and the back up of the eye in the front. And so they couldn't see your head movement. And it all just came into this second 6 week. Yeah. Mm.
Anything else you were doing there?
Lectures. We did lectures.
What on?
We did lectures on first aid. How to use the field bandage, how to use a coat to carry somebody, how to use a blanket to carry them, how to set up barbed wire, how to get people through barbed wire, how to treat them if they got ripped on barbed wire. All this came in a second. So you can see it was pretty empty. It was the start of the war and it was pushing us through.
So, nothing else you can remember about that second 6 weeks?
Yes. Again, these things go out of the past. It was very, very cold. And there was a lake in the rains, which was absolutely frozen.
This would be into towards December now, or yeah. November anyway.
Yeah. November. And then what lad was it? Not Indian. He was a Canadian. And he thought he'd have to escape, And strangely enough, I don't think I've saved the paper, I may have. But if I want to know, in the Evening Post, there was a page about the study, man named Brown, and asking if anybody knew where he was. So what happened to him, I don't know. But funny how he came out of the past. And he was a Canadian, or lived with a Canadian family, came back when the war started, not conscripted. And he taught us all how to skate, how to walk up the outdoors and which way to turn and all that. We only had one pair of skates between us, but it was an interest, something I never met in Sibiru.
So, did you have to pass any sort of exam at the end of this 6 weeks?
Yes, I did. And, it's a funny story, and my interpretation is, I knew the instructor. But the instructor used to be our butcher boy at home. As soon as I spotted him, I thought, I'm in trouble, boy. He not going to let anybody know that he knew I was a butcher boy before I got called up. So I didn't pass. And I got sent to what dog.
And you don't think there's any real reason why you didn't pass, other than that?
What I'm going to tell you now, maybe. Lead on to it. I walked in there on the first morning and it was in a drawer.
This is at Market Harbour.
And I went to the office and the sergeant there. The sergeant put his big cap on, you know, really Indian style. Yes, they, where did he come from? And when I said, Elkis, then I said, I don't know. He said, what school did you go to? I said, Walkerup Central. Something like that. What are you doing here? So I told him, and what's your instructor? I told him, he's not listening. He said, that silly bugger. And he says, stand at the back. So I stood at the back and he went through, and half an hour later, he shouted the bathroom. And he says to the officer, this is what's happening, telling you now, sir. He says, just fill that position nicely. So the officer said, yes, he says, you couldn't do it. He says, you want the pioneer corporal. Yes, sir. Right. So I was pioneer corporal.
Right from the start. Now, who were you joining at Market Harbour? It was
a holding battalion. I forgot the number, but it was a holding battalion.
Of the Sherwood
Forces, yeah.
And what were you promoted straight away? Then?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that corporal, Lance Corporal?
It was a matter of looking after the drains, moving things around, making sure that coal stocks was all right, making sure each room had its own supply of coal, making sure nobody pinched the stuff from me, nothing, looking after the guards, and it kept me busy, but it was an introduction to authority.
Were they in billets at Market Harbour, or was it in some sort of camp, or what were they
no,
in?
They were in assembly rooms. They'd taken over the assembly rooms. And whilst they were doing continuing the training there, I was busy with a squad of six. And I said, chief, we'd be called out to block drains or broken windows and some damage. It was very bad to do it. You have to know who to get in touch with to do things. It was an education. Yeah.
You enjoyed it then?
I did. I fully enjoyed it. Yeah. And, bless me, so that I've been to all cross central school. Yeah.
How did you fit in with the rest of the NCOs there?
Okay, yes, it was all right. Yes, we had a corporal's mess.
Did you? Yeah, what was a corporal's mess like? What did he offer you as corporals?
It offered us, chiefly, we didn't have to kill up for dinner or anything. Somebody got into us. And we had a tablecloth on, which was an air off. And we had a teapot. We didn't have to take them on, we had a teapot. Yeah. I wasn't there then. By the end of February,
So you were there from, say, December to February?
About 6 weeks, I would say about 6 weeks. I know I had one weekend pass when I was there.
And, so this is the February 1940.
Yes, I went out to France.
Now, were you looking for a posting, or did it just come? And how did you feel when you heard you were going out there? Did you know about the Foamy War, or?
Yes, I was a little bit excited, but yes. I was sick of the last time, I don't know that. First time I've been on a boat that far. I've been on a boat to Liverpool, you know, just out in the bay. First time I've been that far. And it was only from Southampton to Bullwain. I was sick all the way. Terrible.
What were your first impressions when you got to Boulogne then? Because you'd never been abroad, obviously.
Never been abroad. No, another thing, see, that Allcroft Central School was one of those schools which taught French. Of course, my father, he said, one of his last comments to me was, I don't know why you're taking that one, I learned it about that. Of course, the first time I was on board, I'm going to France. And the second time I went to Africa, anyway, they sent me to Rouen.
So what did you think of that, of Boulogne or Rouen? When you got, I mean, just did it seem very foreign to you? Or?
It seemed very foreign. It was spacious. It was entirely different to England, you know, where there's not much room for this, that, and the other. When we got to Rouen, I couldn't believe it. As far as you could see, there was nothing, only we soldiers. I don't know if any Shipley Park the other time, eastward here. Similar to Shipley Park, not in grass, not in trees, but it would probably be 50 times as big. I think if you wanted to walk down the perimeter of the place you went to Rouen, it'd take a week. It was so vast. And the first thing that struck me was Red Lark. I don't know what it was. But looking back, hindsight, there's no wonder we got pushed around. It was all in Beltance. And all the Beltance were straight roads. And every morning, get up and let the lid at the bottom of the bike left up. Take the kit outside, and the kit was in a straight line, and the sergeant would be at one end, the corporal at the other, and the sergeant would be like that. Now, bring your kit out a bit, take it back a bit, and the kit had to be in a straight line. So for any aeroplane to come along the top, what a prize.
And you thought that at the time?
I thought that at the time, it's crazy.
And you've got this air perspective from reading Little Heart.
Reading Little Heart.
There hadn't been any air attacks at the time.
There hadn't been any air attacks, but we knew they'd got an air force and we knew they were very active.
So you just thought...
Well, the thing that struck me was First War Generals. We'd not lost them. We're here. No, I'm sorry, but the first thing that struck me. I'd be...
Now that was just was that just the base depot?
That was base depot.
You weren't with a battalion then.
I joined the attachment of the 2nd Battalion. The 2nd Battalion were in India, but they had sent a company of them over to Scotland. They're supposed to get the depot ready.
And that 2nd Battalion Sherwood Forces. Now that's the regulars.
That's the regulars. And they all were. This was my education was really leaping on now. They was on the map talking Indian to each other. I don't call check, bubbling the muck in, and the devil you want. bubbling the mimic. I said, well, yeah, this is past the salt, please. And and they were all Tom Bolo and Crown and Hank, and they were really old fashioned, but it was all right. I mean,
how did you fit in with them? Because these old regulars can be difficult sometimes.
It can be difficult, but it was all right. I made a very good friend of one corporal. And,
do you remember his name?
Corporal Brown. I never knew his first name. He was Topper. Topper Brown. I never knew his first name.
Now, these nicknames, everybody, I mean, Toppers, what all Browns are called, aren't they?
All whites and chokies.
And
rights are chokies, aren't they? That's it. White is chokey, right is chokey, brown is Topper.
And all these old army traditions, did you fit in? I mean, did you start talking Hindustani dialect?
It's surprising how the odd word comes in, you know. And yeah, well, it's all right, but we weren't there many days when talking about myself, we got posted to Boulogne.
Now, you'd be just a private again, wouldn't you? When you'd kept your rank?
Foresters, yeah. Still in the foresters, yeah.
So you were posted back from... To Boulogne.
Now the job we had at Boulogne was it was the depot for troops returning to England and troops coming from England to France. Went on leave, coming off leave, going back, Preston.
So a transit camp.
Transit. And we had to be there to meet boats. We'd got the papers where everybody got to go, put him on the right train. Or take them into the transit camp to the town, or transfer them from one boat to another. Talking about them myself, we did all of this.
Now, where do you got the papers from?
Pulling the RTO.
Rail transport officer. Yes. So he'd give. Now, was he just giving you the Sherwoods, or was he giving you anybody? You're just meeting anybody.
Meeting anybody. Yeah. We were billeted in a laundry, which was in Rouen. In Boulogne, which would probably be 2 miles from docks, and they phoned us there, tell us what time it was. Mostly it was night time.
Because they do the channel crossings at night.
Channel crossings at night. And at the top of the night, we like this because we found a nice castle in Boulogne and it's all burnt nail. And they do egg and chips for sixpence, the old sixpenny, the old sixpenny bit. We could have egg and chips for 6 minutes. So if there was a night we went on call, we'd drop a mile and pop into the room, into Café de la Union, it was called.
Did he influence you, your old regular, did he influence you into drinking more?
No, he was He liked England, but no, he knew when he had enough. And even then, I mean, 2 half pints was enough for me any time. I like to drink now, but I never had more than 1 half. No.
So just a social pint?
Yes,
or half. And that's it, same as then. So how long were you doing this job? Was there anything happened to you while you were doing that? Any incident?
No, we did all right. We didn't get into trouble. We just had to get
no one tried to desert or escape or anything?
No, we were pretty quiet time.
How long were you doing that for?
We stayed there until when the Jerry's came storming through Belgium.
So that's till May?
Till May.
So you were there about 2 months or so?
2 months, and they pulled us out. And we went down to the mountains.
Now, who pulled you out? Was it the battalion?
The battalion.
And where were they? Were they at Le Mans? Or?
They were at Le Mans when we joined them, yeah.
And what had been happening to them?
They'd been up the front. They'd been up the front opposing Jerry. And they got pulled out down to the mountains. In reserve.
Had they had a lot of casualties? I mean, you hadn't really, you'd only been with the detachment before. You'd not met the battalion, had you? And what state were they in?
They were in a pretty poor state, because they marched most of the way. Now, there was one. Major, and I met him. I didn't have much to do with him. I did meet him, but they also were telling me they can't understand it. They're on the road, they're coming down. And it was making, that year it was a baking out one, it was really steamer. And they said, on the way down, every night, he was off with the big packs, and we used to have a kit inspection. And end of May, beginning of June, they'd still got the long johns. He'd still got winter clothing in the pack, and he was putting people on the charge if they hadn't got it. But it went back to the first square wall again, aren't we? Yeah. But we was now. This is the only time when I had more to drink than I wanted to. We was in the mountains, and we got a nappy tent, and Topper Brown and myself and the two sergeants went across the nappy at night. Met the Sergeant Major, and he says, you've had your orders, lads. He says, you're going up to Evreux tomorrow, which is near Paris. You'll be moving at 5 o'clock in the morning. You'll be going by transport. So,
do you know what you were doing, before we go on to the story?
Didn't tell us why.
Just you two sergeants, Brown and Ning. Yeah. You didn't know why.
He says, all right. We get all drunk with me, so we had a drink with him, and we had probably, this was down the other way, and another one all around. And how we walked past the guard, coming back, I saw everybody, but we managed to walk straight past him. We got to the bell tent, I couldn't get my leg over the front, so I stepped outside on that. When the lorry came to fetch us in the morning, we didn't want anything to eat, either Top of Brown and myself. I sat on the back of the lorry and I said, I'm going to sit on the back with the table boys. And it was the only time in my life when I was allowed, I would never do it again. I didn't.